Oh, welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Week 10 came and went. Oh, man. And like a mighty gale, it blew through with the force of with the force of college football. Man, I could write intros for CBS's Iron Bowl. A bowl of iron. An iron bowl.
Is the bowl made of iron or is it holding iron? I've always sort of been on, like if you said, here's an oatmeal bowl, you wouldn't be like, oh, this bowl is made of oatmeal.
The enduring spirit of competition, friendship, and camaraderie, a bond through the years that, like the metal it's named after, corrodes over time, falls to pieces. Yeah, it was that kind of weekend. I was very happy with everything that happened. And you know damn well who I want to talk about, the most important team in the nation. But first, I would be remiss if I did not introduce my two accomplices in this college football podcast. Jason Kirk. Say hi, Jason.
Hi. Hey.
You sound great tonight.
Thanks. I'm well rested. Got an extra 15 minutes of sleep thanks to daylight savings time. Of course, the other 45 were spent watching Pac-12 refs put on a stunning performance late in Arizona USC around what would have been 2:30 Eastern, but was instead only 1:30 Eastern.
Because we fell back. Daylight savings time just made Pac-12 after dark a little more bearable than it really might be.
I think it was the tantalization that was the most painful part, because it was like, I thought I was going to be going to bed early tonight, but it turns out I was actually not.
That and the refs really did, I have to say, refs put on an outstanding show. People come to football games to watch endlessly litigated minor plays and procedural penalties, and that's exactly what that crew gave everybody.
Well, I mean, what is one of the longest running dramas on television? Law and Order. And that's sort of, you know, half football, half refs, right? Listen, yeah. You watch Lenny Briscoe run for 280 yards, RIP Len Dog, and then you watch Sam Waterston explain why the call on the field is being overturned. Don't.
I like the scenes in that show where, you know, they go up to the judge and huddle up and all that, and then they say, after further review, there was no flag on the play. So what did we just spend 45 minutes watching?
A negotiation. But listen, Law and Order's like that too, you know? The prosecutors don't win every case. Sometimes the cases don't go the way you want. Law and Order prepares you for Pac-12 football, except for the fact that the episodes are only like 40 minutes long. That is the one error. But most of the time, people who are watching Law & Order are watching it for, like, a 4.5-hour stretch, a marathon. So, in actuality, yeah. Also, Dick Wolf is definitely whatever USC quarterback secretly calls himself.
Also, Rod Gilmore will barrel into your Law & Order marathon to warn you against taking the case to trial. I would settle this case.
Jurors are risky because they are different people.
But I was charged with murder and I have an alibi establishing that I was on a different continent. I would settle.
I would, you know what? Man 2 is a good offer. It's better than the offer that they're putting out for this kettle corn, I'll tell you that much. Can you believe it?
I think, man. By the way, I have a pet theory that Rod has heard us.
Is Rod self-aware?
Yeah, because I've noticed over the last 2 to 3 Rod Gilmore broadcasts, there has been a distinct tamping down of the conservatism. Now, Rod Gilmore will bust out somewhere else. You can't repress the man.
Oh, sure. Man. During this broadcast, there was, in the first half, he let loose a, now, if I'm USC, I throw the Hail Mary here. it was like hearing your pastor cuss or something. But then in the fourth quarter, it was, I don't know if I would chase the two-pointer here. It's the fourth quarter. When are you supposed to chase it?
You're supposed to wait till 1 minute and 26 seconds? No, it's too dangerous.
Would probably wait until overtime.
Dude, you know Rod Gilmore files his taxes on, like, January 8th. You know he's like, hey.
Taxes filed for, like, 2023.
Worldwide leader, I need that W-2. I need it.
W-2 gets the mail and he has it couriered.
Standing by the mailbox down in a sprinter stance.
With
a headband on.
A young boy on a motor scooter in a uniform and smart cap like it was 1952.
But yes, sir, Mr. Governor. You know what? He takes the standard deduction because itemizing, that's risky. It might get you audited. Rod, you could be saving like 10 grand on your taxes. I hear you. However, I'm going to go ahead and take the standard deduction.
Now,
it's the extra
like
point
this,
of taxes.
I would sell my house and give the IRS all of my funds.
It's safer.
But
just to be safe.
That is a good metaphor for what Ohio State did against Iowa. So,
woo! Thank you for that segue. We'll come back to the thing that set our beloved Mr. Gilmore off. Best color man in college, easily, for this year. For me. Yeah, I'll go there. It's just what 2017. I've adored listening to him more because I pay attention most of the time. Just snoozing, man. Just letting that person yak. With Rod, I'm engaged. I'm interested. Why am I interested? Never mind. But I'm definitely listening and laughing along. The thing that happened this weekend, and there were several things. Number one loss teams that were hoping to sort of, I guess, you know, push the limit, see if they could get another week. Yeah, guess what, y'all? The car payments due.
Listen, Jason said it. The daylight savings time is all about falling back, and these teams did just that.
Yep, check the rankings.
Literally, y'all. Doing some big things in terms of blowing sure things. I mean, for instance, one could have expected Iowa to put up a tough game against Ohio State, right? Like, I don't think that's not bizarre. Like, if we came in tonight, we said, you know, Iowa beat them 11-9. Or Iowa beat them 11-10. Would either of you be shocked?
No, I think even if you said, like, Iowa beat Ohio State 27-20, I would say, okay, that probably means Iowa benefited from a special teams play or a turnover or something like that. You know, a couple turnovers. Ohio State played sloppy and Iowa took advantage. All of those things are technically true. They just do not tell you the whole story.
If you said that Iowa scored an amount ending in five, I would say, you know, ha ha ha, five. They scored five. It's fine. They scored 15, right?
It's that Price is Right game where you have to guess the price of the car and you have to do it in digits. So you're like, okay, I know the second digit is five. So this car costs $25,000. Holy shit, how much is this car?
Iowa, if they were going to go ahead and slap three zeros on the back of that score and make it a proper car, they would have been able to buy a $55,000 car. Iowa would be walking out with a Hellcat, y'all. That's what Iowa did. They put 55 on Ohio State. 55 points. Iowa was stuck on 17-10 for a good 70% of the season.
For like a month.
Right.
A month.
And we had seen Iowa score a lot of points before against Iowa State, the other most important team in college football. But that was because they had to. That was a game that went to overtime. Iowa just like, I mean, not only did they step on the neck, they like went back for seconds. They were like, hold on, you still got a little neck there. I'm just going to put on my wellies. Don't worry. They got spikes on them. Here we go.
It's like Kirk Ferentz has been laying away points for decades. Like, granddad's got the trunk and the attic just full of points. Oh, here's a touchdown we didn't use against, you know, Wisconsin in 2006 or whatever. Let's throw that in.
I mean,
a whole yard sale of points.
I mean, there are so many things that just suddenly went went weird and sideways. Because 10-10 after the first, you're like, I don't know. There's some this is some points going on. There's some actual action in this game. And then Iowa dropped 21 and a quarter, y'all. That's when the jaw dropped.
Well, and then you think, like, okay, Ohio State has really unraveled here, but it's halftime. They'll probably just, we'll still have a game on our hands. No. No, we did not. It did not get better. It only got worse.
Iowa against Ohio State outscored Oklahoma State in Bedlam.
Damn. How is that?
That's unreal.
All right, here's the worst part. Iowa punted 3 times.
Kirk's a little sick of that one. We got to get that corrected. We can't be that inefficient. Because at one point they had a chance to kick, but then they went and broke out some ancient old, we had a nice post today, some old backyard trickery to go throw a pass to the long snapper.
It was something, man. It was, yeah. This is, I don't know who you are, Ohio State. I really don't. You confuse me in so many ways because you have, I don't know, you're multifaceted. I guess you're like a diamond because from certain angles, you're beautiful. And from other angles, ow, you're cutting the shit out of me. What the fuck?
Yeah, you're very expensive. But sometimes it's really hard to figure out why. You're kind of a false market unto yourself. Like your loss is okay. You lost to the, let's just go ahead and call him the Heisman Trophy winner, and you lost at a place where top 5 teams, where their dreams go to die, to quote Les Miles. So those are forgivable till you look at the scoring margins, and you realize you remember the last scoring margin of Ohio State's last game last year. That's 3 big blowouts.
And then there's the other unfortunate part of this, which is, you know, you at least could say, well, yeah, those are 2 losses, and one of them was maybe one of our biggest games of the season, but we beat Penn State. We had this big comeback. That's number 2 Penn State. That's got to mean something. No. Penn State had to kick you while you were down and go out and lose the goddamn Michigan State, which now could very well win the Big Ten East.
Oh, no. Michigan State wins the Big Ten East. They're coming out of this thing with the whole burrito, man. That's it.
God.
They're going to roll out of this thing with the Big Ten championship. And you know what the Big Ten's going to do come playoff time? The Aristocrats!
We prefer to boycott a playoff system that lets Clemson and Notre Dame play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I think this is technically more of the prestige, because they gonna disappear.
There's a big old trunk of teams Michigan State has killed. The whole basement is full of dead Michigan States.
Let me give you this. That's the best part.
Spoiler alert.
Big Ten fans, I'm going to help you pivot. I'm gonna work ahead for you because I know you like to be prepared and do your homework because of the rigorous academics at a place like, I don't know, Wisconsin. Sure. Iowa, which I think has an acceptance rate like somewhere in the realm of the University of Arkansas. But whatever. Y'all are smart.
Yeah, so, but hold on. Iowa's a football school and Arkansas is not, so let's be fair.
True.
When Arkansas gets a program, though, look out.
Because that is a hotbed.
I think they're almost ready to make the jump to FBS. I really do.
I mean, can we call them a sleeping giant? Just a big old sleepy.
Very sleepy. Sleeping in the sense of like how you explain death to a child way. Yeah.
I mean, they barely beat the team that has the teal field. So, oh, wait, there's already a team in Arkansas with a funny painted field. It's purple. So I don't really think there's any room for you in Division I Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Might be forcing it. So we'll see. I don't know. Might not be enough talent to go around. But, you know, maybe.
Well, that part's not a joke.
But if you were one of those schools and you want to work ahead, Big Ten fan, let me go ahead and give you the time-tested, well-worn, and sturdy reasoning that's seen our Pac-12 brethren through so many years of being left out of bowls and other weird postseason things, which is, you know, it's just, it's the parity. It's just, it's such a deep conference parity that if you play a conference schedule and you don't pad your schedule with fluffy cupcake games, it's hard to get out of there with one loss. It just is. It's just hard, you know, and it's unfair because you got these, you got these Big 12 and ACC and SEC schools just, you know, stuffing the schedule with all that Halloween candy, just putting the like now or laters in there.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to get out with one loss unless you're Wisconsin. Like they got the formula down pat. What does that formula involve? Having the best team you've beaten be Northwestern. It's not a good formula. It doesn't taste great, but it does work. All right.
By the way, noted Northwestern hater Brian Nanny.
6-3 Yeah. Everything I say is wrong. I was the noted Northwestern hater. They've won now, what, 3 overtime games in a row?
The Cardiac Cats.
Including wins over Iowa and Michigan State, which both look really good right now.
Yeah.
Transitive Big Ten title, yeah.
I also talked a bunch of shit about Miami. Whoops. Sorry about that. Sorry, I fucked up.
Well, we did get one thing right. We get one thing right per week. And it's on the listener. This is the fun game they get to play. They get to guess what it'll be. This week it was, of course, when there's bad weather, Michigan State wins. And my God, was there bad weather. There was a fucking 3-hour delay. I had the live blog on this game. And boy, that was a debacle. Because I had to just keep updating with, like, and now they're eating pizza. Chicken sandwiches just showed up. And, like, this game ended up getting delayed all the way into the 3:30 group, so, like, halftime was at the same time as...
You know,
like,
that's the exact same way you would live blog a hostage standoff, right?
It really was. James Franklin refuses to...
no one has emerged from the building yet, but we do have intermittent communication with them.
Mark D'Antonio has a list of demands. I just want to play sound fundamental defense.
That's the problem. I like that you immediately recognize the flaw in this plot, which is that Mark D'Antonio would want anything. Right?
he wants your blood. That's a thing. You can want that.
I'm perfectly content in here.
Hello. I have a freezer full of other blood, and I'd like to add yours to it.
I'll let everyone out who doesn't want to be a champion. They're all coming out now. Looks like I'm the winner.
The other thing I think we knew was that Texas A&M was not going to win that Auburn game. We don't have to talk about it. I don't think A&M fans want to talk about it. And it's good because it keeps Auburn interesting a little while longer. That may turn pretty aggressively in the next week or so. But for now, at least we have an Auburn team that is worth paying attention to. And that's important because at the moment, there are literally only 2 teams worth paying attention to in the SEC. Unless... you're here for people shitting their pants in public. If you're here for that, a lot of that. Let me go ahead and recommend the Florida Gators to you. They've literally done that before.
Yeah.
So they have experience. On the other hand, they did that at a bowl game, so you will not be seeing that part this year. But, you know, you've got Arkansas. You've got, Kentucky turning around and blowing a lead. You've got everything.
You got red hot Mizzou catching November waves.
That's right. That's right.
They do, since they just passed right over Arkansas.
You've got Mississippi State struggling with UMass, the team we talk about way too much. But in our defense, UMass somehow managed to schedule everybody in the SEC. You've got Tennessee, which, hey, you won a game. Congratulations. It seems like nobody cares whatsoever. And you've got LSU, which, yep, sure. You played. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Georgia and Alabama won by the exact same score. The stats were very different. You know, Alabama got outgained. Georgia definitely did not. And yet these two games felt exactly the same. Exactly the same. Where once one team got to 21 points, the winning team got to 21 points, you were just like, well, it's done now. They're not, the other team's not going to do that thing. So we can just sort of pack it in. They're like, yeah, there's still like a quarter to play and South Carolina / LSU has the ball. You're like, yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm good.
Yeah, and that was nice because there's a lot going on.
Effective triage is all about patient management, right? So you've got your Clemson NC States, and you're saying, okay, this patient, let's bump him to the front of the line. This NC State is showing life, and I don't know if they're going to pull through, but like, let's pay attention to him. And then you've got your LSUs and your South Carolinas, and you're like, you know what? Just can you wheel that gurney around to the back? Yeah, just, you know, don't hook him up to anything. It's fine. We don't really need to monitor him. Now I know what's going to happen, but I don't want to. I had to deal with the paperwork myself. I'm going to make that Trudy's problem. Trudy's a real jerk. And she's got the night shift, so I'd rather she discover the body of LSU football.
Oh, that's a corpse!
and what a spicy body it is.
We're coming. Coming with the corpse. Their own corpse. Yeah, I was actually watching it, and I'm like, if you watch it from the perspective you watch most Alabama games, you go, they're doing some interesting stuff. Look at him moving the ball. Like, seriously, I don't watch Alabama games to figure out whether the team that they're playing can win, because the answer is probably no, right? You're looking down the road to go, I don't know, could Georgia beat them? And you go, I don't know, man. You maybe? This is how I talk myself into watching the SEC championship game. Like an idiot. Because I know what it's going to be. It's going to be 24-7, 24-10. Like every other game, and like a sort of level replacement year, Alabama. Like, 24-10.
No, Georgia's. You watch Georgia win that game. You're going to watch Georgia win that game, and you're going to feel every bad feeling you can, because that's what 2017 is about for you and me. I don't know if it's that way for Jason, although there was the Super Bowl, so.
The what?
Don't worry about it. We'll fill you in later. Yeah, this is. We're going to watch Georgia win the SEC championship and quite possibly the national championship. You should just get used to that now. If you don't see that, you might see Miami win it. If you don't see that, you might see Notre Dame win it. I can sort of go through the list of teams that you don't want to see Spencer Hall win the national championship, and I can make a great case for all of them. And the case is, God doesn't want you or me to have nice things.
I have found the flaw in your theory, and okay. This is... When I say this and the word flaw, those two have a high correlation. Florida State.
That was the bait that got us into this trap. Okay.
Oh, so we
you gotta put you gotta put some you gotta put something tasty in there. You gotta put a good morsel in there. But you know what? Florida State's probably still gonna beat Florida, so we're not even gonna have that to enjoy. Mm. Even the tasty bait turns out it's rotten and poisoned. Go Noles.
Kentucky. You guys fucking hate Kentucky. Always have. It's a ferocious hatred.
I've gotten to the point, though, where I can now Mr. Brightside myself into almost any real winner, right? Because I know that there really won't be many. So as long as it's not just watching Alabama pick up another one, I can be pretty happy. Because Alabama's just inert to disinterest. You know, you're like, this isn't. None of this is inspired or interesting, right? Like, the defense is awesome. But I just have to watch them run Kansas State's offense, right, this year and act like I'm, like, super excited about that, right? Or that they have, like, five running backs.
Can you bright side the fact that Rutgers has more wins than Florida?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, wow.
Well, watch. We can play this game all night. Bright siding Rutgers having more wins than Florida. Watch. You know, they've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids have played hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's the birthplace of the game, right? Why shouldn't, you know, Chris Ash has, I think, done a masterful job in just getting their heads above water. That's inspiring. I think that's something that anybody who's a fan of a program that's not a perennial power could take a lot of faith, a lot of hope out of, right? That you go, oh, okay, man, if Rutgers can have some success, basically anyone can, especially after comic mismanagement in, like, the Flood era. So, sure. There I go. I just Mr. Brightsided it. That's fine.
That was you're getting good at this. I'm honestly impressed.
What? Put him up. I'll spike him.
No, I mean you're doing great. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You want to hear like Brightside on Florida State?
Sure.
Sure. Here we go. Brightside on Florida State sucking. Okay. This is for Noel fans. Watch me do this. You know what? This is overdue. Sometimes you need a forest fire to come in and clear everything down. Just get the dead brush out of the way. Level all of the old so that the new can flourish. You know, Jimbo's done a lot for the program, and those coaches have been with them. But at a certain point, you know, seasons change and reasons change people. You need new coaches, new blood, and in turn, rejuvenate sort of, I guess, the flagging personal energies of Jimbo Fisher, who is admittedly saddled with, I think, an unfair number of burdens in terms of personal responsibilities. This is to me, the painful and necessary thing, you know, the sort of planting of seeds that are going to bloom down the road.
I got one.
Okay.
UCLA.
You know, when people say that Chip Kelly's never going to coach again.
Yeah, it's coming.
I think you're not really thinking it through, because there's one school in maybe the most underrated college football city in America. I know everyone knows that USC is there, but really, when you look at why the NFL is struggling there, it's because college football has the heart of the LA sports fan first. And what underserved, underloved, underloved, they need to love them up. The UCLA Bruins fan base just sitting there in the middle of this gold mine with nobody to pick up all those little nuggets. You know who could do that? You know who could take those nuggets and build them into one big golden war machine? They can ride on down Crenshaw and just straight through the Coliseum. That'd be Chip Kelly.
On the other hand, if Chip Kelly doesn't take the job, then you never have to inevitably hate him as you do with any coach who comes to UCLA. So that's positive.
Sure, there's a positive right there. Also, great thing about UCLA football, it's not UCLA basketball. What you got to live up to? It's all potential.
Damn, you're in such a good mood.
Best venue in sports, not just college football, in all of sports, the Rose Bowl. And you get to go there every home game.
Okay, Notre Dame.
I think that most people who thought that a 4-8 team would stay a laughingstock were definitely short-sighted. And sure, we had our fun with the Irish. We did. But that's you know, that's what we do to aristocracy, right? Rough them up. Take that top hat, throw it on the ground. Call them private school boy. Laugh how they don't have calluses on their hands for not being, you know, working men. But you know what Notre Dame went and did after we made fun of their silk stockings, after we made fun of their silly, frilly summer camps? You know what they did?
They beat us to death with their stolen ivory cane.
They hired Pinkertons.
They bought our land from right out from under us.
They did. They bought our land. They used eminent domain. And they ruined my family.
My land left me.
They went and got a job, dang it. And you know what they did? They put in hard work for the first time in their lives. And they came out of it on the other side tougher and better. So, you know what? I'm not saying you have to like Notre Dame, but you have to respect the work that went in. And you have to respect them sticking with everybody throughout this entire thing, except for Brian Kelly. He can just totally go jump in a well, and I don't care. I could only stay positive for so long, seriously. But Brian Kelly, just throw Brian Kelly at the bottom of a well. I don't really care. He's awful.
Wow. Mr. Sunshine, Spencer Hall, folks.
I feel lonely. I don't know what to do now. This is very disorienting.
Yeah. Can I stop doing that now?
You can. Let's go ahead and pivot into the negative, and let's do that with ad reads. Okay? Let's go ahead and Jason, you want to go first?
Yeah, let me do that. These were, of course, ads that people purchased on this program back during our disaster relief charity drive months ago. Generous donations all around. Greatly appreciated. From Matt. These were the words that Matt wanted us to write at the time. 1, go Pokes. 2, Oklahoma State is manifestly the best college football program in the state of Oklahoma. Three, the University of Oklahoma, commonly referred to as OU, football team has no greater rival than the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Matt tells no lie. These things are all true. If you look these things up in any reference materials, you'll find that all impossible to confirm as false. Every single one of them, especially mainly Go Pokes.
Yeah, Go Pokes. I mean, here's the thing. Moses never turned around the tablets, and so he didn't see that on the back of the first one, it actually says 5B Go Pokes.
Mm-hmm.
So, innocent mistake. It happens, but it was there, clear as day, in Aramaic or whatever.
Hey, that may seem like a little too far back in the historical record for an Oklahoma State reference, but I would go ahead and remind you, Stillwater runs deep.
That's a good point. Spencer, you want to read yours?
I do. Ours is paid for and sponsored by a contribution from Adam Flynn, who is a Stanford fan, like Ryan, despite the fact that they are the centrist dad meme incarnate. And wants to see which NFL fan base will vote in a socialist government just to get rid of their owner. Okay. I got this. Okay. Because I think that that Raiders fans wouldn't do it, because I think that they would just see Mark Davis's van.
He's basically a man of the people. He's as proletariat as you can get and still own an NFL franchise.
He's as close as you could get. Now,
also, they would go straight anarchist, right?
Oh yeah, no, they would do that thing where they would go, yeah, man, revolution, and then afterwards the party apparatchiks would sit them down and say, okay, well, now we're all going to read this book, and this is how we're going to do things. And that's when it all goes sideways, right?
You'd get Mark Davis into the guillotine, and he'd be like, cool, my hair-cutting machine.
This is neat. It'll make my hair look exactly like I like it. I also, when you think of people who, you have to pick a team that people are unhappy with the ownership, right? And which means that I think my leading suspect would be either the Washington football team or the Washington State football team, i.e. the Seahawks, but they don't seem all that unhappy with things. So that leaves the 49ers and the Washington team, right? Maybe the Cleveland Browns. That's why I'm picking Cleveland, because I think there are enough working class people there who you can just get to vote for anything that makes them mad, right? Socialist, super capitalist, whatever. Ohio could just go either way. They're just mad. So if you could just point them in a direction, right? Where they go, are you a socialist? And you're like, yeah, yeah. But the Browns, right? Like, rabble, 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 right? Like, what are you going to do? We'll get mad. We'll watch Family Guy. It's an Ohio thing. You could totally get them to vote for a socialist government to get rid of their owner and boot the Haslams.
So, I wouldn't sleep on Cincinnati here either. Like, I feel like that has good potential for, yep, finally, let's kill the old bastard.
Listen, society is the weak, watery chili that we all ruin together. That's what we need to work on.
And it's exactly this kind of socialist talk that is killing Papa John's sales, okay?
We are hurting Papa John's right now.
Right now. We are taking money out of Papa John's beautiful, tiny mouth.
That is a really small mouth. He kind of looks like Ray Liotta, but like shrunken.
Yeah, he looks like Ray Liotta's body double from like 92, whatever Karina came out.
He looks like Ray Liotta as we remember him before he got like the extra face bolted over his face via surgery.
Right, the tequila face. You're talking about the tequila face, yeah.
Yeah, like the unbloated but still aged Ray Liotta.
Do you think he's the like Frank Stallone of the Liotta family, like Jay Liotta? Did you know him? He was on Silk Stockings 3 times. Jay Liotta, it's Ray's brother.
He was nude in all of them. They asked him not to. They were very clear. This is not a show with full frontal. There he was. Peener in hand.
I run a limo service. Yeah, what's it called? Uber. It's crazy. Just call me. Yeah, that'd be my pick is Cleveland. Cincinnati's not bad. 49ers, no way they're doing it. It's like too much libertarian Silicon Valley money. There's
no Google and Amazon will absolutely quell any socialist uprising, and they'll somehow convince us that we're better off doing it. Ah, but now with Prison Camp Prime, you only have to work 80-hour weeks instead of 85. Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll sign up for it.
What about our official NFL franchise, the Chargers? Like, they only have 18 fans, so if, like, four people agree on one thing and, you know, like, five people don't vote, like, well, okay, that's it.
Yeah, you got to act fast. You got to act real fast, because the eight people who actually own and run things in San Diego, they'll clamp down real quick. So if you can just get in there, get your five-fan majority, flip it, and then get out and flee across the border, I think you're good.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are more the example of, like, in a post-apocalyptic world, you know, you in this movie, you pan over and you're like, oh, look, it's Grand Central Station, but it's overrun with weeds. And you see these, like, former things that used to run. You just have, like, the dried-out husk of the Chargers. You just have them doing just still in formation, losing 17-3 in the third quarter. Just be like, wow, I can't believe frozen in time forever. Shitty, boring team. Captained by a very angry, very virile man.
Hey, y'all out there.
Not unlike Papa John's, huh?
If anyone out there is a Chargers fan, can you tweet at us about that? I just want to
tweet
see
it. Hold on, tweet it, Jason.
Tweet at the Fullcast account. Just anything. I just want to see a sign of life.
That's fine too.
Just let us know you're okay.
I got two to do here. First from Alex. SUNY Albany is a great place for Todd Graham to coach. I believe their mascot is the Great Danes, if memory serves from previous NCAA tournaments. Here's the fucked up part. So they need help because they did lose to USC. They need USC to lose twice, and that would have to happen against Colorado and the aforementioned UCLA, who just got fucking worked by Utah. But here we are. It's November, and it's not impossible to say that Arizona State will win their division. At the very least, like, six wins seems perfectly attainable. I don't think he's going anywhere, but if he wants to, why not? Albany is a place. Therefore, it could be great. I haven't been there.
I would really not rule out. I mean, like, what person of a reasonable, rational mind would, after an unexpectedly long stay in Arizona State, why would anyone rule out the sudden departure of Todd Graham to literally anywhere? Like, it would not surprise anyone who would watch this happen.
My planet needs me. Goodbye.
How long does he have to stay there to lose the job hopper joke?
He has to die there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a harsh standard, but fair.
Or convincingly fake. I'll take fake his death. If he convincingly fakes his death and pops up 2 years later and be like, I don't know, this dude coaching Wake Forest looks a lot like Todd Graham. I'll be like, oh, he did it. I'm so proud of him. This is, of course, because Dave Clawson got the Florida job. So. Mm-hmm. The other one I have to read. God, I really... Spencer is in a good mood. Nothing. Who is this man? Here's my other one. From Mark. Thank you to Mark Carlton, who reminds you that great barbecue shouldn't need sauce. I have no problem with this particularly hot food take. I'm fine with it. And Mark paid me to say it, so I have to believe it. That's how that works.
Yeah, Mark wouldn't make you lie.
No. Certainly not. None of these are lies. That's why, again, according to Matt, and according to the truth, Oklahoma State is manifestly the best college football program in the state of Oklahoma. We have shout-outs as well to Jeff Kramer, Colin O'Brien, Jack Allwood, Duncan Elkins, and keeping on theme, at Poklahoma on the Twitters. What games have we forgotten here? I mean, man, NC State is finding new ways to almost beat but not beat Clemson. And it's a little hard to watch. Like, I know that NC State was sort of like they should still feel good that they went toe-to-toe with Clemson for the second year in a row, and overall their season has been pretty promising. When you look at their three losses, yeah, they have this weirdo loss to South Carolina, but other than that, they've only lost to two teams that, in Clemson and Notre Dame, are both in good position to make the college football playoff right now, so there's nothing to be disappointed in about this season per se, but man, it was between that and Syracuse managing to lose to Florida State, it was a lot of like, oh, thanks for nothing, guys.
Well, I mean, NC State, you know, anytime you lose a game via illegal shift and nefarious sideline computing, I think you just got to chalk that up to good old fashioned Clemson clean living.
Can you explain the sideline computing thing? Because I have just I'm honestly out of the loop here.
Man, this is a good loop. This is a good loop. So after the game, Dave Doran said he would like to have a laptop computer that he either saw or heard about on Clemson's sideline investigated. And they asked Dabo about it. He feigned ignorance, we'll say. And then a Clemson official next to him alleged that it was being used by the Clemson social media department.
which
as if Clemson has a social media department.
Yeah, which actually, I mean, yeah.
Have we named this scandal yet? And if not, can I call dibs on Clem Ghazi?
Wow.
Yeah, you did it. Done.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Oh, wow. Clem Ghazi. That's let me tell you that is what totally what the laptop is. They take all of the sticks from the camera person and load them up and do stuff. They cut it live. They do it live. That's what it is, Dave. You know, because I mean, NC State doesn't have that. Like, is Dave the kind of guy who, like, a computer is just suspicious sitting there?
It's looking at me.
Yeah, like, is he that much of a, like, paranoid Luddite? That, you know, he's like, do you want an Apple Watch? You're like, to track me?
It's radiating. I can feel it.
How many times do you think Dave Doran has said, what the fuck do you mean you don't take paper checks?
Like, he sees a phone that goes in the microwave. Otherwise, it's going to hear us.
Dave Doran, you're sitting behind him, and he gets three items at the grocery store, and he goes, that'll be $14.28, and you just start to groan when he pulls the checkbook out, right? Like, oh.
He sees you with a Tamagotchi on your keychain. He's like, the thing's going to grow up and kill you.
But I'm just, no, like, I'm just taking
no,
care
no, 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 no. Just listen, okay? Burn it now.
It now while you
burn
still
it.
Can.
Burn it now.
You're not taking care of it. You're feeding it because it needs to be fed.
All right. It's called a playbook. B-O-O-K.
Yeah. So that was fun and painful, especially knowing like clockwork that the otherwise stellar Ryan Finley was going to throw an interception on that last possession in the red zone. And that's what he did because that's what NC State does. Other things of note that I would like to point out. If you didn't miss it, I believe this was on Friday night, Florida Atlantic. Now, Florida Atlantic under Lane Kiffin. Now, the proper thing to do to manage this game would be at, I believe the score at the time was 30-23.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And in order to go ahead and get the game down as low as possible and just get out of there, Florida Atlantic took a safety. Now, this being some devilry, what was the spread on the game?
6.5.
Yes, correct. So by taking a safety and making the score 30-25, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't even good strategy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because like
there were still 9 seconds left.
They did this with 14 seconds left on the clock. And sometimes you see teams do this because they're like, well, we're backed up and we're worried that there's going to be a punt block and they're going to score a touchdown off it. They were at their own 24. So they definitely had room to get a punt off, had room to get one that was just going to go straight out of bounds and make Marshall have to throw some stupid Hail Mary. They didn't have to do this. And to Jason's point, they left time on the clock where they still had to kick the ball.
It went from, uh-oh, their scary return guy might run back a tying touchdown to, uh-oh, he might run back the winning touchdown.
And they have to kick it to him.
And Marshall fucked up even worse because, you know, FAU squibbed it. Marshall picks it up. If dude gets down right there, they have 8 seconds from, like, the 45. Throw the short pass, and then, you might have a 40-yard pass for the win. I don't know if I've ever seen two teams fuck up so badly in about 10 seconds.
It's inspiring, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Conference USA football. Yeah. Tune in today.
This is all amazing, right? It's even better because after the game, what the coach should do when confronted with questions about whether he was doing this to mess with the spread, any coach would, of course, deny, refuse to answer, just decline to engage the topic whatsoever. And that's certainly what Lane Kiffin did, because he's matured and because he's a different person now that he's worked with Nick Saban, because I don't know, there's some kind of radiant energy that comes off him that just instantly matures and withers away young flesh, right?
No,
he didn't do that.
No, he made a joke about it.
I the next morning they were like gambling reporters said like contacted FAU. Imagine being the SID and getting, oh Jesus, God damn
oh
it.
God, oh please be the about volleyball. Gambling please community. Please be about volleyball. Fuck, it's never about volleyball.
It's like subject line. Question about your coach's comment on the Vegas spread.
Oh, why did we hire this semi-erect penis? Oh,
I mean, they're having fun. They had the literal Lane train barreling around campus and all that. Like, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, every now and then you're just going to have to deny that you're colluding with posted gambling spread. That's all.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Can we talk about Miami a little bit more? Because I do feel bad that I basically was trashing them for weeks. Because they just put – they did such a good job shutting down Virginia Tech, holding them just under 300 total yards of offense, 2.4 yards a carry. They were, I mean, forced a ton of interceptions. So it felt like the chain was just being like, air, everybody gets a try. Okay, I promised all the moms on the team that everybody would get to wear the chain once, so we're going to go ahead and get a bunch of those out of the way tonight.
Give it to J-Lo! Yay! Don't give it to A-Rod. Don't give it to A-Rod.
They're 10th against FBS teams in yards per play allowed. I don't know. I really, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, I just don't see how they're going to be able to shut down Notre Dame. And they still might not, because Notre Dame still looks, you know, didn't really have trouble offensively against Wake Forest. But it's going to be a damn fun game. It looks like it should be, at least. I will go ahead and eat all of the crow that you have to offer.
Can I just ask the universe a question? When are we all going to get comfortable with the notion that they're not only good, but that the games they play are just going to have these kind of modest scores? Like that's, there's always a team like this. There's always a team that ends up like, I don't know, 10-2, 11-1, and you look at all the scores and there's not a really single impressive score anywhere on the resume.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certain years, if you just make this team Auburn, you're like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Or if this team, if you know, fucking Michigan was doing this, we would be Midwest shamed for doubting this team that scores no more than 28
points
per game.
They just know how to win and read Latin.
It might. Like, I'm sure there's like Rick Ross album covers where there's a lot of like Latin writing. Like, you just like the look of it. It says lemon pepper wings in Latin.
Yeah. Wow. This is amazing. It rhymes the word 22 seven times in a row in Latin.
In this game, I like the end, the fourth quarter. Canes are up 18. They're definitely going to win. And bro, they are fucking racking up penalties. Like, they just gifted Virginia Tech an entire drive, just like held their hands and walked them down the field just to take it back via one more turnover. Like, in that moment, I mean, we like to joke about Texas back, the U is back, every team is back. In that moment, the U was back.
Yeah, I don't – Miami's the solution and the cause to all of Miami's problems, right? That's – like, if you watch them, you go – like, people are going to go, man, this team – like, people who haven't watched them, just watch. The Miami-Notre Dame game, they'll be like, man, this is a sloppy-ass team. Like, how have they won anything? And you'll start to go, oh, no, they're really good. And when they're really bad, they're really bad. And that's how they average out to be a pretty good to really good team. Because there's a lot of extremes that sort of equal, yeah, we'll give you a bunch of penalties, and we'll also get this crazy-ass 45-yard pass playoff on you. Boo! Yeah, a lot of that.
Miami could – here's the thing to know about Miami right now. They could really easily be 4-4, but they ain't.
Yep.
That's it.
They are the team, by the way, most comfortable with $5 in the checking account. That's when you're like,
we're good till Friday.
So close to overdrawn. Yeah, but we're not going under, are we?
Hey, minimum payment's a payment, ain't it?
That's it, man. Miami, savings rate, zero. But guess who's getting to the end of the month? Miami.
Yeah. And you know what? When nuclear war comes, what's your savings account going to do? Not a goddamn thing. Throw that U up.
I have greatly enjoyed watching them, and if they beat Notre Dame 24-19 by the approved official Miami score for the year 2017, I will be doubly pleased, because consistency is a delight, especially when its origins are a team so volatile that they actually undercut their own success repeatedly.
If Miami beats Notre Dame, you know what we're just like three checkerboard moves away from? Mark Richt versus Georgia in the playoff.
Yeah. No. You see,
that's like super on the table.
Yeah, well, in this case, the checkerboard does have cocaine on it, just so we're clear.
You're going to have to brush that off, because Brother Richt wouldn't like the sight of that. You're going to have to tell him that's sugar, because we're making cookies for the firefighters.
It is from the earth, so, and God did create all of it, so I guess I could see some argument. Just not in front of me, if you please.
It's for medicinal purposes, right? Isn't that what they say these days?
You have the cocaine glaucoma. Well,
I got that cocaine glaucoma. I can't see shit. Help me, you got to fix me up. I can't see a damn thing. Oh, I see it all now.
This usually violates my, like, I will be a rep of my usual indicator, which is that being a commie, I always root for a public school over a private school in almost every single instance. However, in the case of Miami versus Notre Dame, I could think of no clear division between the things I love and the things I disdain than these two schools, because you're like, man, look at that. Miami from Florida, known for excess, NCAA investigations, Jeremy Shockey crashing a jet ski into the side of a boat and not dying somehow. Yeah, man. Yeah. Give it to me.
Let's just do it. Fuck it. Let's just do it and be legends.
Yeah. Hey, listen, my dad's got this thing. Just give me 10 grand. Give me 10 grand.
Try and tell me that Ja Rule isn't a position coach on this team. Convince me that that's true. You can't.
I can't.
You fucking cannot.
No. I can't. You know what? I can't convince you that they're not going to win the national title. I can't. I have no reason to tell you that they can.
Like Miami 18, Wisconsin 9. That's your national title.
With everyone standing there looking at it going, what?
Mm-hmm.
How?
2017 is full of wonders.
That's how this ends. It ends with like the Miami team declining to visit the White House and instead celebrating at a Pollo Loco, right? Somewhere.
We have appointed Trick Daddy as our representative to the White House.
We're giving the turnover chain to our president, Pitbull!